Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Republican celebration over the passage of their so-called tax reform bill and get an assessment of the sycophantic praise showered on Donald Trump in a wave of self-congratulation from GOP lawmakers and Trump's obsequious cabinet, who ritually paid homage to their president as though he was North Korea's dear leader. Dean Baker, the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research and author of Rigged: How Globalization and the Rules of the Road of the Modern Economy Are Structured to Make the Rich Richer, joins us to discuss the obscenity of celebrating a massive gift to corporate America and the richest Americans while taking away healthcare coverage for millions of Americans and letting the Children's Health Insurance Program CHIP lapse, endangering the health of millions of American children. Then we'll speak with Jason Furman, a professor of the practice of economic policy at Harvard's Kennedy School, who served as the top economic advisor to President Obama and was the 28th chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, acting as both President Obama's chief economist and a member of his cabinet. He joins us to discuss the difference between the economy that Obama inherited and the one that Obama handed over to Trump, that Trump is taking credit for. We will examine whether this unpopular tax bill will end up punishing the Republicans in 2018, or will the rosy projections of trickle-down benefits on top of a robust economy ensure that all branches of the government will remain in GOP hands. Then finally, we will look into the fate of the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP, which is languishing in Congress from neglect, with its benefits to millions of American children about to expire, and speak with Joan Alka, the executive director of the Center for Children and Families. A research professor at the Georgetown University McCourt School of Public Policy, she joins us to discuss the dysfunction and indifference of the Congress to keeping alive a bipartisan program started by Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy and Republican Senator Orrin Hatch. And joining us now, Dean Baker, the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, a progressive economic think tank based in Washington, D.C. He writes the popular economics blog Beat the Press and is the author, most recently, of The End of Loser Liberalism, Making Markets Progressive. And his latest book is Rigged: How Globalization and the Rules of the Modern Economy Are Structured to Make the Rich Richer. And he has an article at the Huffington Post, Bubbles Are Back. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dean Baker.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks, Dean. And there seems to be two schools of thought. The Republicans, all of whom are absolutely overjoyed by the passage of their so-called tax reform bill. And there was a lot of celebration and a lot of unctuous praise of the dear leader, Donald Trump, particularly in a cabinet meeting that was absolutely dreadful, embarrassing, to say the least.
It was embarrassing.
But you've got reports now that corporate America, who are the big winners along with the super rich, are going to pump some money into the economy. The head of Bank of America is saying that Comcast is going to give their employees a little bit of a bonus. So is corporate America going to play along with this idea that this is going to be good for everybody in the trickle-down sense?
Well, you know, I don't think anyone thought none of the tax cuts to corporations were going to end up in workers' pockets. You know, most of the estimates from, you know, the opponents, or I shouldn't say opponents, because all these people are like working for the government, as far as I know, neutral. I have no idea what their view was. But in any case, you know, somewhere in the order of 10 to 20% of the corporate tax cuts would end up as higher wages. And, you know, one of the ones you mentioned, Comcast, AT&T, they both said that they'd give a $1,000 bonus to their workers. And the two points to make about that, one is that it's a bonus. It's not an increase in their pay. Now, in the story, they're supposed to see higher pay as an ongoing matter, because the tax cut were not a one-year. This wasn't a one-year tax cut. It's a permanent tax cut. So why isn't the pay increase permanent? But on top of that, again, I just did the arithmetic with AT&T. Eyeballing it, they stand to have a tax reduction on the order of over $2 billion a year. If you look at $1,000 per worker for 200,000 workers, I mean, those are their numbers, that comes to $200 million. That's 10% of the tax cut. So, I mean, I'm glad to see workers getting something, but, you know, they're getting one-tenth of what the company's getting. So that's pretty much in line with what many of us thought would happen, that they'd get something, but most of it's going to go to the corporation, go back to their shareholders as stock buybacks or dividends, which to most people I don't think sounds like a very good story.
But that's not the story that Paul Ryan's putting out. He's saying that in time, people are just going to love this. I mean, the hyperbole that was coming out yesterday from all of those beaming faces who've just passed this massive so-called tax reform bill, that everybody that's analyzed it just about says it's really weighted in favor of corporate America and the super rich. We know, and in fact, Trump said this is the end of Obamacare. Well, how could they be proud of putting, you know, millions of Americans are taking away their health care? And of course, you've got the CHIPS program that's languishing and hasn't been renewed. So here you are throwing extra treasure at the super rich, and hundreds of thousands of American children are going to go hungry.
Well, I don't think there's much explanation other than they just don't care. I mean, the CHIPS program just shows it very clearly. I mean, none of this was a surprise, just so everyone understands. This is state children health insurance program. It was started under Clinton, President Clinton, but bipartisan support. Gingrich, the Republican Congress, supported. So this has had widespread support across the aisles, you know, since the late 90s. And it's been hugely successful, covered, you know, millions of kids and improved their health. So it really shouldn't be a debatable point. But here it is. The funding authorization expired for it at the end of the fiscal year, September 30th. None of this was a surprise. It was all on the calendar. Everyone knew about it. They couldn't be bothered to reauthorize it. And you have states now running out of money. I don't know if anyone have yet shut down clinics, but, you know, they're near that point. They're certainly very near that point. And they just don't want to be bothered with it. So it just, what can you say? Here it is. They're pushing this big tax cut. And here's this program that everyone agrees, great program. Millions of kids depend on it. And they just can't be bothered to reauthorize it. It's kind of incredible.
Yeah, but Dean, it was championed by Hillary Clinton, the devil incarnate.
That's right. No, she was the one who pushed it. I mean, obviously, she alone didn't get it through, but, you know, she you know, that was something she took on after the initial health care proposal in 93, 94 went down in flames. She picked up the idea, okay, let's agree that we should insure kids. So, yeah, it has her handwriting on it, and maybe that's... that's the issue. Again, what can you say for people that, you know, for whatever reason, that I don't care whether they're right or wrong to hate Hillary Clinton, the immediate issue here is millions of kids getting health care. So, you know, send her a nasty Christmas card or something. But, I mean, this is millions of kids. There's nothing, at this point, there's nothing to do with Hillary Clinton.
And again, I'm speaking with Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, a progressive economic think tank based in Washington, D.C. He writes the popular economics blog Beat the Press and is the author of The End of Loser Liberalism, Making Markets Progressive. And his latest book is Rigged, How Globalization and the Rules of the Modern Economy are Structured to Make the Rich Richer. And he has an article at the Huffington Post, Bubbles Are Back. So we've got this rosy forecast from the Republicans and Paul Ryan basically saying, just wait, this is just going to be so good. And early next year, people will start seeing their paychecks and they're just going to be thrilled with this whole thing. And all of this criticism will be absolutely exposed. And Trump, of course, is angry of the coverage so far. So what's the reality then? The people who have told us that this is a disaster, it's going to blow the debt up by $1.5 trillion, and it's going to just add more wealth to the already wealthy, and the corporations, they're going to get a windfall or pay less taxes, but that's not going to translate necessarily into jobs. That's the one narrative, and we've already looked at the other narrative. So what's your sense of where we're heading here?
Well, the people saying it's a disaster are wrong in the sense that the economy is not going to collapse over this. We are going to have more debt, but people don't see the debt unless they're reading publications from the Congressional Budget Office. You know, in other words, you and I, we go down the street, we go to our jobs, whatever we're doing, we don't see the government debt. We only see the government debt if it causes something bad to happen. And frankly, I don't see any story where it will cause anything bad to happen, at least not anytime soon. This isn't to say that at some point ever, you know, we couldn't have a problem with government debt, but we're very far from having that point. So in that sense, I think Ryan might actually be closer to right, not that his tax cut's doing anything good, but we basically have a pretty healthy economy now. It grew 3% in the third quarter. It's on track to grow more than 3% in the fourth quarter. Nothing to do with their tax cut. It just, you know, the economy is finally picking up steam. Workers, as you get the unemployment rate down, workers are getting more bargaining power. You are seeing some increase in wages, particularly at the middle and the bottom. So we actually have a pretty healthy economy, and I don't see this tax cut as derailing it. So in that sense, if the Democrats are saying, oh, my God, look at this, they passed the tax cut, something's horrible is going to happen, well, that's not true. So in that sense, the Republicans, Paul Ryan, may end up not looking that bad because odds are, as I say, we're going to have good growth in the fourth quarter. I don't see it suddenly stopping come 2018. The unemployment rate's likely to continue to go down. So if you know, the Democrats are touting, oh, my God, we're going to see a disaster, we aren't going to.
Well, but the president, of course, he's going to save, Donald Trump is going to save between $11 and $15 million per year due to the cuts. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is expected to save up to $12 million. Betsy DeVos will receive a tax cut of $2.7 million. And Trump's heirs stand to save $4.5 million, as do the families of Commerce Secretaries Wilbur Ross and Steve Mnuchin at Treasury, even Rex Tillerson. So, little wonder.
It's unbelievably corrupt. I mean, this is money that we could have been using. We were talking a moment ago about health care. Okay, so we could have been extending the Children's Health Insurance Program. We were talking before about the Affordable Care Act being dismantled. Well, it's being in large part dismantled. We could be using this money to extend health care insurance coverage, to reduce the cost, have a Medicare buy-in. There's all these useful things we could have been doing with this money, but we're not. So in that sense, it's really bad news. On the other hand, if we're saying, oh, the economy is going to collapse because we have a bigger debt, that's not true.
Well, I don't know that anybody's saying that, but in general, the main, and let's face it, this is unpopular with the American people. And are they wrong, the majority of Americans, seeing this as a giveaway to corporate America and the super rich?
Oh, they're absolutely right in that. And it is an outrage. These are the people that have gotten the bulk of the gains from economic growth for the last four decades. So how does the government respond? We go, oh, let's give them more. So people are absolutely right. And beyond just giving it to the rich, as you said, a lot of this is literally just straight-out pork barrel stuff. You had Senator Corker, who was originally against it because he increased the deficit, suddenly turns around. What do you know? There's a provision in there that has a lower tax rate for real estate investment. Guess who has millions of dollars in real estate investments? Senator Corker. So people are absolutely right to be outraged about this. I'm just saying it's not going to sink the economy.
Right, but I guess the political question, Dean Baker, is it going to rescue the Republicans? This is the most unpopular president since they've done polling, from what I understand. And he's got this millstone around his neck of the Russia inquiry. Now they're trying to distract everybody through the Fox propaganda machine and say that there's some kind of coup going on and try and purge the FBI and the Justice Department. And they may even fire Mueller at any moment. That's all going on. But as you say, the economy's doing well. And if you go to the Carville adage, it's the economy, stupid, then are the Republicans in good shape in 2018?
Well, I think a lot really depends on how the Democrats play it. I mean, the corruption is clear as day. You have a guy in the White House who's threatening war with North Korea and, you know, may mean it. Who the hell knows? That rightly has people scared, disgusted. So that does make them incredibly unpopular. But I worry the economy could play into their hands, and especially if the Democrats try to portray that this is some sort of economic disaster when it isn't. It is an outrage that they're giving more money to the richest people in the country, and basically it's a straight-out, you know, old-fashioned pork barrel stuff where these guys are going, well, we get to vote out. Why not we vote ourselves big piles of money? And that's what they did. You know, so that rightly disgusts people. And that is tremendously unpopular. But if we try and say, oh, and now the economy is going to sink because of it, well, that's not true.
So what's your sense then of whether the Democrats can measure their criticism? My sense is that the country's really ripe, I think, for champions of antitrust, for champions of the middle class and working Americans in the real sense. And I think, you know, people are palpably aware of the growing income gap.
That's right. And Democrats really have to seize on that. Whether they're prepared to or not, You know, I just can't say. I think obviously many of them are. Certainly you have people like Bernie Sanders. I guess not a Democrat, but you know, Bernie Sanders, of course, and Elizabeth Warren. I mean, you could point to people within the party who have been champions of working people, but you still have plenty of people who've been close to Wall Street, close to Silicon Valley interest. And those people don't necessarily want to see working people have better lives.
So is the support then for this so-called tax reform bill in the Fox bubble, how do you penetrate that bubble? I mean, is there an argument that you can make to the working people? And Trump, after all, ran as an economic populist. He ran against Wall Street, I might remind you. And he tried to paint Hillary Clinton as a creature of Wall Street. And now he's got this giveaway to Wall Street, which they're selling as a boost for the working Americans and the middle class. And that's what they said in front of the with the big photo op yesterday.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's hard to say that this is money going to the richest people in the country. It was designed, you know, during the campaign, of course, Trump was trashing Clinton for her speech at Goldman Sachs. Well, who's his chief economic advisor? Gary Cohn, who was Goldman Sachs. Mnuchin, who was at Goldman Sachs. In fact, his dad was at Goldman Sachs. He's Goldman Sachs' child. So it's not, it's quite truthful to say this is money going to the richest people in the country. You know, I made the joke that he promised to drain the swamp. He's swamping the drain. He's just filling us up with garbage. And that's not a hard point to make because it's just very obviously true. Again, it's not going to crash the economy, but I think people are rightly disgusted by seeing these people lining, using their political positions to line their pockets.
So then there is, as we've discussed, the time is right for a real economic populist. We saw it, a glimpse of it from the last campaign. Bernie Sanders came out of nowhere and got an enormous amount of support. Do you think the Democratic Party is going to move in that direction? Are they going to start sort of getting rid of their Wall Street ties? Because if they don't, and the Republicans are on a roll and the economy is doing well, then I don't see them doing, you know, everybody tells you they're going to sweep, they're going to win back the House, possibly the Senate. I'd say not so fast.
They have to give people a positive agenda. They have to say, we're about extending health care, we're about education, whatever it is. I mean, they could put down several issues, but, you know, make it clear, these are things we're going to do for you if we get in office. Now, obviously, as long as Donald Trump's in the White House, he'll probably veto anything, but at least you could say, this is our agenda, this is what we're going to push. If they're saying, we're just going to take back the tax cut, I think it's going to look very foolish.
So, in the end, we've all been hosed, and they're lucky that they have a good economy, and frankly, the guy that he trashes and vilifies along with Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, should get some credit for that, but it doesn't work like that, does it?
Well, you should get some. The other person who really deserves an awful lot is the person who just fired his Fed chair, Janet Yellen, who really has done an outstanding job. I mean, she managed to steer the economy through this. I won't say I always agreed with everything she did, but the point was she steered the economy. She kept it going along. We have no problem with inflation now, and we have a economy that's doing pretty well. So Obama deserves some credit again. I wish he had had more spending, more stimulus earlier, but, you know, he gets credit for turning the economy around, and I think Yellen in particular for holding it on a steady course. And unfortunately, she has the misfortune to be the first Fed chair not to be reappointed in I don't know how long, quite some time.
Well, Dean Baker, I thank you very much for joining us, and I wish you happy holidays and a Merry Christmas.
You too.
And again, I've been speaking with Dean Baker, who's the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, a progressive economic think tank based in Washington, D.C. He writes the popular economics blog Beat the Press and is the author of The End of Loser Liberalism, Making Markets Progressive. And his latest book is Rigged, How Globalization and the Rules of the Modern Economy are Structured to Make the Rich Richer. And he has an article at the Huffington Post, Bubbles Are Back. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back with an assessment of the unpopular tax bill, whether or not it will help the Republicans or hurt them in 2018. We'll be talking to President Obama's former chief economic advisor.